Michael, how's life treating you, my friend?
Doing great. You always give me the best introduction. So every time we correspond and you offer an invite, it is always an easy yes with you, man.
Yeah, I always feel like it's a great way to butter people up, Mike, so they can help me do my program. You know, obviously, along with Ashley Yogi, you were a day one member of the network, Pac-12 network, 11 years ago. And I was thinking about you guys when the Washington-Oregon game ended. And I know there's hoops and baseball and all that. And I know it's been 3 years since you've been with the NFL network. But, you know, you think about Jackie Robinson, Cheryl Miller, Kareem. I mean, when that game ended, did we all feel like a little disturbance in the force with no more Pac-12 football?
Yeah, I still don't know if I'm totally over it just yet. I mean, you know, the weirdest part about this whole situation is just, it's like a year of mourning, right? Like, we knew it was coming. There's an expiration date on it. And I think that made it obviously tough. I think the fact that the season was as successful as it has been, I think is awesome, right? I mean, two guys from this league and Knicks and Penix going to New York for the Heisman college football playoff team. It was, you know, a Pac-12 championship game that was essentially a de facto play-in game. I mean, those are the things that I think anyone in this league, as long as it's their team, wanted to see. And we got to at least get some of that. And it's not over yet. We'll see what happens, obviously, over the next couple of weeks or so. But, you know, the reality is it is sad. And Steve, I would challenge anyone to come up with a more sad sports story. The history, tradition, the rivalries, the efforts from the student athletes, the coaches, the administration, just the support staffs. I mean, it's wild. There's just so many ripple effects. And, you know, I just kind of hope that at least, you know, the games moving forward, whether it's the Big 12 or the Big 10, I hope there's still fireworks. And, you know, I hate to give you this long-winded answer, but the only thing, other thing that I'll add here is I really do feel like, Steve, in at some point, and maybe it'll take 10 years, maybe it'll be a lot less, but I really do feel like the league will be back together and a lot of those rivalries will be in place. I just, the way college sports is going right now, going to be an NFL model. You're going to talk about two conferences. Regionalization is going to make more sense. Divisions, that'll be like the Pac-12 division, so to speak. I think we're just headed that way.
Interesting. On a happier note, I was looking at the NFL playoff picture with 4 weeks left. You have two teams that are out. I mean, the Giants and Bears with 5 wins are only a game out. The game Saturday, 3 teams who were either in or tied. Every Sunday game, Mike, has one or both teams either in right now or within a game. I know it's your job, but the fan in you, how do you not love how this season is playing out?
Oh, it's tremendous. I mean, like you said, so you got 30 teams that are still in contention and thinking that there's a real chance. And, you know, I think for some teams in particular, you might just say in other years, well, do they really got a chance? I got to tell you, you look down the stretch here and some of the head-to-heads and the positioning that might change. I mean, Buffalo's a team at 7-6 that, quite frankly, if they do make it, I don't want to play them, you know, if they're my team. And, you know, Cleveland Browns squad, I mean, just how about this? Look at, and I don't know the exact number, Steve. I actually have to go back and just double check because we were waiting on some status for, you know, CJ Stroud, for example. But my point is it's like 11 or 12 backup quarterbacks that are starting
crazy
this weekend. And it's just wild to me. And look, Joe Flacco, I was ready to write off the Cleveland Browns and usher in the Pittsburgh Steelers, but don't look now. Flacco's got Cleveland rolling. Jake Browning in Cincinnati, they're balling right now. And the team that I felt like had a great chance because of the schedule coming off back-to-back losses, and obviously Trubisky's in, and it's not Kenny Pickett. But you're right, man. It's just wild. I don't know why I focus on the AFC South, but the point is there's a lot of really interesting football to be played.
Talking with Mike Yam, NFL Network, Freudian, part of the news this week.
Said that for a long time.
Yeah, it sure was. So the bad news this week, Justin Herbert, done. Finger surgery. I mean, they lost Mike Williams, Josh Palmer. Eckler's missed time. You know, they brought in, they had J.C. Jackson. They missed most of last year. Then he got traded. They lose every close game. You and I talked optimistically over the summer. Just, Mike, how much of just a misery has this year been for the Bolts?
It's been brutal. And by the way, Keenan Allen's not even playing tonight. I don't know what to make of all of this, Steve. I really did feel like the Chargers, and you're right, like you and I talked about this before the season started in the summer. I look at that roster, and granted, you just went through a bunch of injuries, so that obviously is going to change things, but it wasn't supposed to look like this. And struggles, I mean, the last three games, I think it's two touchdowns that they've scored. That's not the Chargers, man. Like, that's not supposed to be what this team is. And I can't help but think just the bad luck at the start of the season for Justin with that thing, that finger getting hurt, and then compounded, obviously, with, you know, the fracture now. I mean, that's just, it stinks. And I can't help but think that you might see some changes. I don't know if it's to, you know, the head coach. I don't know if it's, you know, a general manager and a complete overhaul. But the roster itself is not bad. I mean, we talk about this all the time inside, you know, our wardrobe room where we're getting ready for our shows, and certainly in our commercial breaks and even on the show. The Chargers roster, like, they should be better than a 5-win football team. And I gave Brandon Staley a ton of credit last year. To navigate the injuries that they did a season ago and still make the postseason, to me, was pretty impressive. So I get that. But I do understand that there is a fan base that's disgruntled by some of the decisions that seem analytics-based. You know, look, when they work, we praise them. When they don't, you're going to take some heat. And unfortunately for Brandon, they haven't worked recently, and he's taken a lot of heat for it.
Yeah, and not to mention that franchise does not play with house money as many people as they pissed off moving from San Diego.
Yeah.
I want to get to the Chiefs. Beyond the hysterics after the Kadarius Toney, who all of a sudden forgot how to line up on a football field, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to set a career high for picks. They really don't have a reliable target beyond Kelsey.
No.
And I think, Mike, we've been trained now for 5-6 years to think, well, 15 will find a way. You talked about not only what you say on air, so what's the buzz around the network about this team suddenly, I want to say, uncharacteristically vulnerable?
They are vulnerable. Everyone understands that. And if there's a year where the Kansas City Chiefs really needed to play some home playoff games, this feels like that season. Patrick Mahomes, you mentioned 1-5. He hasn't played a road playoff game in his career. And yet right now, look, they're still atop of that division at 8-5. And don't look now, but yeah, the Denver Broncos are hot on their trail and certainly have an important game that's going to be on NFL Network on Saturday against the Lions. But, you know, to me, this identity around this squad has shifted. And I don't necessarily think that's the worst thing. The problem is, an offensive-minded team that can't score points is a problem. This defense is really what's carried this team. We've been impressed there. The fact that Isaiah Pacheco is still banged up, I don't think he practiced today. I don't know what his status is for the weekend. That's a problem. Rashee Rice, you know, has played pretty well. But outside of him and Kelsey, there hasn't been enough playmakers. And I think that the team overestimated the ability for the wide receivers to grow inside that room and maybe get on track a little bit faster than what reality is right now for him. So I'm worried for Kansas City. Now, I think, you know, I mentioned the Bills, like a team I wouldn't want to see in the playoffs. Even if it's a, quote, down year for the Chiefs, who the heck wants to play those dudes in the postseason? I would tell you most teams don't because of Patrick Mahomes.
You know, you mentioned Saturday, and you do have the triple header on the NFL Net, which wraps with a great game. Denver at Detroit. The turnaround. We know there were a lot of zingers thrown early at Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. The defense, you know, that gave up 70 has actually stabilized a bit. And after Detroit, they play the Pats, Bolts, and Raiders. You know, not a killer schedule. What about this turnaround? I mean, the Broncos suddenly are right there.
Yeah, I love it. And had it not been for a hard-fought, you know, win for the Texans a couple weeks ago, you know, we'd have even having a more different conversation right now. I mean, the reality is for the Broncos, this is their hardest remaining game left on their schedule. Because after you just sort of chronicled what they have there with those Patriots, Chargers, and Raiders, you know, they got to take care of business in this one. And Detroit, on the flip side, is also in a situation, Steve, where they got to figure things out. You know, we saw the Niners have that lull, that three-game losing streak. I feel like we're watching a Detroit lull right now, and that's not necessarily a good thing. You want to be playing your best football at the end of the season. I was high on that squad. I saw some comments from Dan Campbell about C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who got banged up and has missed most of the season. It looks like he might actually be able to play again during the regular season this year, which surprised
me.
Wow. I think he's kind of that missing piece. Like, that defense was flying all over the place when, you know, for a good stretch of the season. It hasn't necessarily been the case recently, and I think CJ can sort of infuse energy into that team, especially on the defensive side. But, you know, to your point, there's not many teams. I think it's only happened two times where a squad in NFL history has started 1-5 and been able to make the postseason. And if the Broncos do that, it's a major hat tip to Sean Payton, and that defense is balled out. And Steve, how about this? Before the trade deadline, there was speculation that Denver was going to be a seller. And can you imagine if that was the case, and it was a Jerry Jeudy or a Patrick Surtain, or, you know, insert whatever name, got, you know, shipped out the door? You know, I don't know if they're in this situation. I give that front office a lot of credit. Maybe they felt like things were about to turn the corner. I don't know how they could have known that, but obviously there was confidence in this team, and that's why they didn't make any dramatic moves.
Talking with Mike Yam of the NFL Network. I got it. there's no way we're not bringing up the Giants. I mean, talk about Jersey guys, Tommy DeVito, Don Bosco Prep, a county over from where I grew up, because of Goodfellas, I refer to him as the gangster. You had the interview with his agent, or was it his consigliere? Sean Stellato. So what was he going to move out of his parents' house? I mean, just how great of a story is this, Mike?
It's awesome. You get this, because we're both, look, we do this for a living, so we're covering these teams, but at the same time, we're fans. And there's the fan in me that is thrilled with these wins, and then there's the fan in me that goes, do I really want to be a mediocre team? I wouldn't mind getting that draft status and that pick a little bit higher. But it's an awesome story. I mean, the way that Tommy's played, you know, maybe I'm the idiot, because I'm sitting in our newsroom the other day, and I turned to a couple people. I'm like, damn, man, like, Tyrod Taylor's, like, cleared. Dayball's really going to throw Tommy DeVito out there? And sure enough, like, hey, pulse of your team, he gets it, and Tommy's had some success. You know, the best part about this is we're seeing, and I made reference to all these backup quarterbacks that are getting opportunities, Jake Browning included, speaking of the Pac-12. You know what's cool about all this stuff, Steve? These guys, you know, sometimes they're like one step out of the league, and now all of a sudden they got some game film, and they've had some success. And I'm not saying that they're going to get starting jobs. All I'm saying is, those game checks, they're going to come, because they're going to have roster spots. And for a while now, Tommy's going to be one of those dudes. Jake Browning was thinking about, you know, life after football. Jake doesn't have to think about that. Jake just now has to worry about winning some games down the stretch here and trying to lead this team to the postseason. And then next year, like, he's gonna be able to be a backup. I mean, that's a good thing for a lot of these players who get these opportunities.
By the way, that Browning story, I mean, we could get to it another time. I mean, this guy last played with the Huskies in 2018, and all of a sudden he pops up out of nowhere. The last thing I want to get to is, I will not acknowledge how good the Cowboys look, so I want to get to the Eagles. They took a hit. I mean, I did a segment over the summer losing both coordinators, Javon Hargrave, a lineman to the Niners. Brandon Graham seems like he just got old. I don't think Darius Slay's been himself. They're 28th in points allowed. We talked about KC being vulnerable. How vulnerable suddenly are the NFC champs?
Yeah, it's kind of wild to see this thing play out. You know, I think if you got a great defensive line, it's in a lot of ways a huge equalizer. And last year, that Eagles team was historically great up front. And they're still good. They're just not as good as they were a season ago. I still contend that Jalen Hurts right now is not 100%. You know, I think it was last week on Total Access, David Carr made, you know, a lot of news and buzz, and his comments went viral saying that he would play Mariota, you know, down the stretch here. And he said, you know, if I'm an Eagles fan, it's not about getting these wins down the stretch here. You know, the Eagles can win road playoff games. And David felt confident about that. He said they can't win a Super Bowl, though, without Jalen Hurts being healthy. And that was his point. And when he said it, you know, candidly, we all knew he was going to go there. We had this conversation in our meeting, and I didn't think it was a crazy take. When he said initially, oh, yeah, it should be Mariota, you know, over Jalen, that perked everyone up. And I think that brings in, you know, sort of the listener and the viewer. But I actually thought the take was lukewarm when you hear the rationale behind it. But you're right. Right now, Philadelphia feels a little vulnerable. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, executing at a higher level on the offensive side. I think a lot of that starts with Jalen.
And it's just annoying that the Cowboys are good, but that's a story for another day. Folks, he's Mike Yam, always generous with his time to come on and enhance our radio program. Again, Total Access and more, NFL Network. Check out his book for one of your kids, niece, nephew. It's called Fried Rice and Marinada. You can learn about it all on Twitter. Use the handle at Mike_Yam. Mike, wishing you and yours the happiest and most joyful holiday. And, of course, always look forward to talking again as we roll into 2024.
You're the best, man. Hey, happy holidays. Always appreciate the invite.
All right. Be well, Michael. Take care. There you go. Mike Yam, NFL Network. Absolutely huge weekend is upon us. Remember, 3 games tomorrow. We'll take a break. We'll be back. My convo with Oregon basketball coach Kelly Graves is next. 95.3 The Score.